Hello. My name is Elizabeth Lurie, and I'm presenting on NYC Haynes 2013-14. I'm very short. I'm trying to fix this. So accomplishments, challenges, and lessons learned from conducting a population health surveillance study. And I have nothing to disclose. And so just a brief outline of my presentation. I'm going to discuss an overview of NYC Haynes, talk about the methods used, a little bit about our response rates, some lessons learned, and some strengths and limitations of our study. So NYC Haynes is a population-based examination, population-based examination survey of New York City adults. It's modeled on the BOLD standard NHANES, which most of you probably are aware of, but it's the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. And NYC Haynes was conducted first in 2004, and then again in 2013-14, which I'll just call 2013 from now on. So a little bit of background. So NYC Haynes 2004 was conducted entirely by the New York City Department of Health. It was funded by the City of New York, and interviews were conducted at clinic sites throughout the city. Whereas in 2004, NYC Haynes was a collaboration between the City University of New York and the New York City Department of Health, and we also contracted with a data collection vendor. The more recent Haynes was primarily grant funded, and most interviews were conducted at home with just one clinic site available. So some of the objectives of the more recent NYC Haynes were to estimate the prevalence of selected health conditions using objective measures, estimate citywide awareness, treatment, and control of selected health conditions, monitor the prevalence of environmental exposures, and compare the health of New Yorkers in 2004 to 2013, and evaluate some major citywide public health initiatives. So after the 2004 NYC Haynes, a number of public health policies were implemented, and some of them include increased cigarette taxes, further restrictions on smoking in public places, including parks, a ban on trans fats in restaurants, municipal checking of A1C values, and education about fish with high mercury levels. So the new data set will help us compare the effectiveness of those initiatives, as well as collect new data on current issues. So a little bit about our sampling. So this map, if you're not familiar with New York, is a map of New York City. We have five major areas, which are boroughs. And so the sampling design was a random-based sampling design that sampled first neighborhoods. So 144 neighborhoods were selected, which are the green little dots. And then with each neighborhood, 1 to 3 block groups were selected. And then we did household-based random sampling in which screening or eligibility screening was conducted at roughly 3,000 households, and then up to 2 adults per household were randomly selected, including adults just 20 and older. The study involved a brief physical exam, which was just height, weight for BMI measurements and blood pressure measurements, and then a face-to-face interview, which usually lasted about 2 to 2.5 hours, and an audio computer audio computer assisted self-interview in a CASI, which was used for sexual behaviors and drug and alcohol use. And then we collected urine and saliva. The field interviewer collected urine and saliva, and a trained phlebotomist collected blood. And then also to note that a data collection vendor did the data collection up until roughly the last 10 weeks, in which the City University of New York and the Department of Health took over data collection. The questionnaire was developed using a great deal of input from subject matter experts at the Department of Health as well as the City University of New York, and covered a wide range of topics outlined here. Most important, demographics, health-related behaviors, existence of diseases, self-reported disease, access to care, etc. We also conducted a great deal of laboratory testing, including diabetes, heart disease, infectious diseases, various environmental exposures. Most notably, we measured for lead and mercury exposure, as well as serum cotinine, which is nicotine byproduct, which can measure exposure to secondhand smoke. We also created a repository of blood, sera, urine, and saliva for future research, and are accepting proposals to analyze our specimens. So our outreach campaign involved huge deal of outreach because it was a random-based sample. We conducted presentations at local officials' offices, for local community groups. We did a press campaign. We maintained social media. We had a Facebook page, a website with a video explaining the study, which really helped a lot. I think helped people understand a little bit more about the study. The website was not a part of 2004, so we found that this was really important for legitimizing the study these days. Mailings to select households, flyers in the neighborhoods. We had endorsement letters from the mayor as well as other key political leaders. So a lot went into presenting an image of legitimacy to kind of distrusting New York City restaurants. So we emphasized four key messages, which were to get a free checkup. All respondents received if they provided specimens up to $500 worth of lab results. They received a $100 incentive, except for during the last 2 weeks when we increased it to $200. We emphasized the message of improving city life to appeal to the sense of civic duty and volunteerism, and to be counted, and that selected participants could not be replaced. So a little bit about our results. In total, 1,524 participants were interviewed. 82% did the interviews at home, 80% provided blood samples, and 95% provided urine and saliva. This is just a diagram of some info on the response rates between 2004 and 2013, and there's been a well-documented trend in declining response rates in survey research in the United States, and our experience mirrored that. Just looking at the last row, our overall response rate was 36% just in the more recent NYC Haines, whereas in 2004 it was 55%. So it was a pretty substantial decline in response rate. Although we were able to get a fairly representative sample of New Yorkers, this is a graph of New York City. The green is NYC Haines respondents, and the purple is the population distribution throughout the city according to American Community Survey data. And these are the five major boroughs or neighborhoods throughout the city. And as you can see, we did a pretty good job of getting a reflective cohort or population, we had a similar distribution in terms of income representativeness. So some key lessons learned we got from this study were that a $100 incentive may not have been sufficient in New York City, which is such an expensive place to live. When we raised the incentive to $200, we did a total of 5.1% of all interviews in 12 days compared to a whole year of data collection. So we now understand that in a city like New York, $100 is not sufficient for such a comprehensive study. Outreach is incredibly important in such a random sample design, and it's incredibly important to raise awareness before showing up at people's doors. Four key messages were incredibly important too, because not everyone was swayed by the idea of getting their results or getting money. Many people needed that sense of civic duty emphasized, so understanding the audience and playing to a range of messages were really important, as was the endorsement letters and the video on the website to just create a sense of legitimacy, because people tended to be a bit distrustful. So some other areas, things we learned about successful recruiting was that it's really important to have supervisors that know the culture and the distribution of people throughout the city, knowing neighborhood demographics and cultures. Since New York is such a diverse place, you have cases where you could send by accident a Spanish speaker to a Russian neighborhood or something like that. So understanding the city and really knowing field staff is also really important. To hear what is happening in their experience in the field was critical to us doing good data collection. And then the home interview. So as I mentioned earlier, roughly 80% did the interview at home, and we found that this greatly reduced participant burden. But it was also quite a big challenge. We collected specimens in the home too, so the blood specimens specifically had to be spun in a centrifuge shortly after collection. So our phlebotomists had these wonderful car seat portable centrifuges, which is what that is a picture of. So they would collect the blood, spin it, and then get it to the lab, which created a lot of coordination between the lab and the field staff and making sure everything arrived at the right time and at the right temperature. So paying a great deal of attention to that was especially important. And a few additional lessons learned were that sending the results to participants need to be really easy to understand. Initially, we designed them to be for people to provide to their doctors, but that created a lot of confusion. So having like color-coded lab results sent to individuals where they can understand if there's a problem or not is really important. In general, lighter supplies for field staff is really important. I think because they had to bring a scale, a blood pressure cuff, a computer, it ended up being a lot of supplies. And using tablets instead of laptops would be ideal just to create less of an obstruction between the interviewer and the individual, especially because screening was done door-to-door. Having the computer in between caused some issues. So a few quick limitations were that it's a cross-sectional study. We only were able to get citywide estimates, so no neighborhood-specific estimates, and we had a small sample size for some demographic groups, so that was unfortunate. Due to the sampling design, we are at risk of some non-response bias, but we corrected that through non-response weighting and adjustment, and then there's always the risk of random error and bias due to self-reported measures. Some strengths of this study design are that sampling maximized representativeness. It was modeled on Haynes, which is the gold standard. We were able to collect objective biomeasures and create a repository of specimens, and we're one of the few jurisdictions in the country with temporal trends in diagnosed and undiagnosed chronic diseases, extent of control of chronic conditions, and urban relevant environmental biomarkers. And we had a huge team, so this is just a thank you to our amazing team and our funders. And that's it. So if you are interested in learning more about the study, this is our website, or you can contact me. We also are about to release a public use data set and are accepting proposals to use our repository through January 2016.
Thank you very much.
So if there are any questions, you can please indicate by raising up your hand and Elizabeth will answer your questions.
Yeah, there was I think fear of needles was a big part of it. Also, it was just scheduling because you had a separate person conducting the blood draw compared to the interview, so there would be a second person coming to your home or coming at a different time. So I think the scheduling of the phlebotomist was definitely a challenge. Yeah, by the interviewer. Yeah. Yeah. What's that? So one of our co-PIs is Dr. Lorna Thorpe, who works at the City University of New York School of Public Health, and so she was one PI, and then we had health department PIs, and it worked pretty seamlessly. She has worked at the Department of Health, so it was just kind of a natural collaboration between university and the Department of Public Health. Also, some of our field staff were MPH students, so we got a lot of great MPH students to do our field work out of this collaboration. It worked was pretty seamless just because of the pre-existing relationships. Yep, in the back. Yeah, so the incentives were provided at the time of the interview in cash. There was a great deal of back and forth, I think, with our IRB in terms of the amount of incentive. And the incentive was actually lower if you didn't provide specimens. I think it was around $70 just for the interview and a little bit more for each. And then there was a great deal of back and forth with the IRB in terms of what was okay. And they ultimately approved of the $200 incentive towards the end after realizing that $100 wasn't sufficient.
Yeah,
yeah.
New York City people, too.
Yeah.
The whole plan.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay.